Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special holiday episode of Live the Fuel. All right, guys. So this is your host, Scott Mulvaney. And for the first time since the show has launched in September 2016, I will be recording a solo episode. So there'll be just me. And it's going to be quick, all right, guys, because I'm recording this over the Christmas holiday season. So whether our listeners celebrate Christmas or not, I'm not making it all about a Christianity holiday. Because if you listen to the other episodes, that's not my style. So anyway, again, guys, if you're new to the show and this is the first episode you're listening to, we're here to fuel your health, your business, and your lifestyle. So the point of today's episode is it is during the holiday season. We're about a day or two before Christmas here on 2016. And I just wanted to give you basically a personal message. I never really did an about episode. And I just want to reflect upon just some of the gratitude and appreciation that I think a lot of people skip over during the holiday season. And I think that a lot of us need to really push out over the whole year. And unfortunately, life gets crazy, businesses get crazy, families, relationships, you name it. We and here in mankind often struggle with, I guess, simplifying life. And I wanted to start off with just giving you guys a quick refresher and a reminder about what gratitude really is. I mean, the simplest definition is really appreciation. But if you Googled it and you want to look it up, I mean, one of the popular definitions is it's a quality of being thankful, the readiness to show appreciation for and to return in kindness. And I think that important part of that definition there is returned in kindness. I think we all need to be reminded of the importance of gratitude in life. And during this holiday season, and hopefully many more to come, you'll remind yourself of this. When life gets crazy and we're, being driven by our jobs or our businesses or by what's happening in our relationships or our families, like take a deep breath, slow down, take a deep breath and be thankful for life and show gratitude for what you have and what you've accomplished. We all hit the road bumps, the speed bumps on the road. We all hit the walls along the way. But I think a lot of us forget about the most simplest thing that we personally have a control over, which is just stopping, taking a deep breath and being thankful for our lives, our health, where we're at. All right. That being said, that's gratitude. So that's kind of my theme for the show here today is I just wanted to express gratitude and appreciation for the last 34 episodes so far. So again, since September of 2016, it's now December. Actually, specifically, I'm recording this on the 23rd. This will air this Monday for the Christmas season. And I've had 34 awesome co-hosts come on this show already, so I'm beyond excited and grateful for each and every one of them coming on here. Most recently, a good friend of mine, Doc Beast, Dr. William Board Perry, shout out, and thank you for being a loyal listener. I turned him on to the show accidentally, and he actually says mine's one of the regular shows he listens to, so I am beyond thankful and grateful for somebody that I've known for a couple of years now who just chose to not just listen to the show because he knew me, but, him and a few other people close to me in my life now listen to the show regularly because they actually said they enjoy it and they enjoy the co-host. So it makes me feel better. It makes me help me realize professionally that am I doing something right? Am I getting the right content out there? Am I bringing the right people on? And personally, talking to you, my listeners, let's be honest, that's something that stresses me out. I'm all about living the fired up epic life here, guys. But in the end, I'm also my own worst self-critic. And I think a lot of us out there, hopefully I'm getting through to some of you, and I think we all are our own worst self-critics sometimes. And a lot of us look elsewhere for support and for people to support us in our lives, our business lives, our personal lives, our relationships. And I think we have to be reminded about listen, this is something you have control over. This is this show is my development, my project. Live the Fuel is my brand. I need to own that shit, all right? Depending on you, my listeners, or my co-hosts, or my friends and my family to help me rise up, I don't want that to be a dependency. I want that to be something that I'm grateful for and that I appreciate. but I don't depend on. And if you're a regular listener and you've heard me on prior episodes and you've learned more about me as your host, that's something that I truly, truly believe in. And a quick background on this for you guys, because I never really did an about episode, is I wanted to share a little story for you, and it's just a little about how I grew up and why I appreciate Christmas and this holiday season. And, you know, I grew up young. I grew up, like we all did, young. But I was a young kid on a dairy farm. And we didn't live there very long. My dad is a hardworking man. He's had a dairy farm in Flemington, New Jersey. And he followed in my grandfather's footsteps and was trying to become like a cattle broker and a livestock hauler. So I grew up around more of a farming industry lifestyle, learning about hard work and learning about many hours that he spent on the road. And he still does to this day, transporting people's animals and their cattle, horses, you name it, to markets, slaughterhouses, etc. And you know, through financial struggles and just life in general, we eventually sold that farm and we moved many times over the years, actually. So we used to live in Alpha, New Jersey, in some apartments there, and then we moved to Lopatcon, New Jersey, and they rented a house there. Then they eventually moved us to Pennsylvania. And that's where we finally moved to just outside of Easton or Nazareth, Pennsylvania, in an area called Plainfield Township. And my father chose to find another farm for us again. And I'm glad he did, because it did teach me the value of hard work. And even though I didn't like doing it sometimes, I had to get up early, go feed the animals, you know, take care of something besides myself. And that's where I kind of had my first taste of what entrepreneurial stuff was like, not just, you know, seeing my dad go through it, but, you know, selling eggs on the side of the road because we had like 20, 30 chickens, and learning how to, you know, again, be responsible for that, going out, collecting the eggs, bringing them in, washing them, boxing them, selling them for a buck a dozen along the side of the road. And yeah, that's something I appreciate, that I'm grateful for. We all grow up differently and we have different backgrounds in life. And yeah, so I grew up and went to Wingap Middle School in Wingap, Pennsylvania, and then eventually Penn-Argyle High School. And I can be honest with you, I did not enjoy it. There were some people that I think I was still kind of learning through maturity to develop that self-confidence and that fortitude. And admittedly, because I was different and there wasn't a ton of farm kids that I went to school with, you know, I felt a little bit like the outsider too, because I moved into Pennsylvania when I was in fifth or sixth grade. So I didn't grow up with some of these other kids I was going to school with. I'm just thinking back to this time. So many years ago, I was born in 77. So you know, I'm a classic Gen X generation. So anyway, you know, fast forward. And as I'm reflecting here, you know, I tried getting into that, you know, the normal wavelength of the regular kids that weren't farm kids. You know, I tried my stint at basketball, didn't like the personalities, didn't like the clickiness, got into baseball. You know, did pretty good with that for a couple of years. Again, never really clicked with it. But I still wanted to have that drive, that passion, something to do. I've always had something else going on, even though, you know, I had my home farm life. I had my schooling to take care of. I started working at like 14 years of age, got to learn about, literally, I would actually ride my 10-speed bike to a local restaurant, and I was a dishwasher. So, and then another place down the road was a big dairy farm, and that was one of my summer jobs was milking cows, you know, cleaning the udders of the cattle and putting the milking machines on them and learning about, you know, again, more hard work. Like I didn't have enough on my farm and I had to go out and you know, I'd ride my bike down there and I would go into the fields, you know, throwing hay bales around, filling up wagons of hay bales and straw or whatever crop they were taking off to make sure those animals were fed and they had bedding and everything else. And this was a massive dairy farm. They sold milk to the public. It's kind of funny. It sounds like I'm dating myself, but they literally sold them in glass bottles. Now, all of a sudden, that's trendy. You see these local farms coming back now, and it's all like, oh, it's the big deal to go shop local. Well, that's just how I grew up. So it cracks me up when people start, oh, man, there's a new farm. It's got glass bottled milk. You don't have to go to the grocery store and get it in a plastic jug. And I'm like, yeah, been there, done that. I used to fill them. So if that gives you a little more background about my childhood. But I didn't have the traditional high school jobs. Eventually, I started following some of that. And again, being grateful for the hard work that was taught to me from those experiences, you know, I decided, you know, I want to one up it. I want to take it to the next level. So once I reached my high school years, I wanted a car. So my dad's like, well, guess what, Scott? We're not going to buy you a car. You got to, prove it to yourself. So one of my dad's policies was I had to have a year's worth of money saved up to pay for a year's worth of car insurance. And I had to have the money for my first car. No help. If you want to drive, you got to earn it. So I ended up not getting my license till I was 17, even though back then I could have legally gotten a full license at 16. And I'd already been driving the tractor once in a while in the fields. And I used to drive our farm truck around and, be a little jackass in the fields doing donuts and stuff. So I had my share of fun. And I was, biking all the time. But the point was, until I financially could prove that I was responsible enough to have that vehicle, I was not allowed to get it. So that was something else that I look back now and I realize I'm grateful for those lessons learned. Maybe at that time, they didn't teach me anything, but it just takes a few years to pull your head out of your ass and realize those were powerful things that my father taught me. And he still teaches me to this day. He's always busting me, busting my balls and holds me accountable. And that's what I love about him and my mother. So I'm going to fast forward past that childhood story and just take you to that. Anybody who's listened to this show before has heard me, bring up the firefighting stuff. Obviously between there, I started chasing the corporate dreams. There's a lot of other backstories here. Worked my way up in the call center world, doing the hourly job, answering phones, and then eventually, being the go-getter, I wanted more, so I would, this is all in the beginning, I was trying to go to Penn State at the time for engineering. And I was trying to work my way into management and doing training roles because I didn't want to sit on the phone anymore. I thought it was boring as hell. And a lot of respect to people who could actually enjoy that job. But I spent between two different companies over a decade in that industry in the telecom world. And again, so I just kept chasing the money, chasing the dreams, what I thought were dreams. In reality, it was just driven by money and maybe even a little bit of greed because I grew up with a little. My family always provided. We always had food. We had toys. I was a G.I. Joe guy. We had a roof over our head. So looking back, it's not like we were poor. I would say we were lower middle class. But I just, I saw something bigger and better out there and I would chase it. So just looking back from now till then, I just want to remind people here that even to this day, I'm still constantly reflecting back and reminding about myself, about where I came from, where I'm at today, and the gratitude and the appreciation for what I have and what my family helped build for me to get me to where I am today. And I'm still figuring out life, just like every one of you. We're still trying to build whatever we feel is going to be the next best step for us and our families. So again, back to the theme or the thread of that story was, I got tired of the corporate stuff, decided to go back to school, finally bang out my degree in marketing and psychology, and then decided, well, I'm still bored and I needed more of a challenge. So did the firefighting thing, went to an academy. That was a whole struggle trying to get, trying to get known, trying to get experience, trying to get connections, trying to get onto that hotshot crew. That's a whole other backstory. I'm gonna have to write a book on that. And, I basically disappeared for 2 years. I decided I've always lived on the East Coast. I didn't really get a chance to really experience the West. So closed up my life. Bought like 7 duffel bags and a couple mountaineering backpacks and said, okay, if all my gear, my clothing fits in this, I'm good to go. So I bought a $3,000 Subaru Outback wagon, no car payment. That was awesome. First time in years that I didn't have a car payment, although I have one now. So I apparently didn't learn perfectly. And, put all my camping gear, my rock climbing gear, ski gear, road biking gear, mountain biking gear, you name it, I have gear. Like, honestly, if I really wanted to go minimalist, I would have had to give away all the stuff that, helped me balance my life, my physical activities, and that was not going to happen. So anyway, I closed up the townhouse I was renting and moved west. And for 2 full summers, as well as the spring and as well as the fall, I'm living out west. I was in Arizona for those 2 years. Then I moved to Colorado. But during that time, and this is just something to appreciate for this holiday season, I realized that, I was gone most of the year. My family would not hear from me very often. And years later, I now get to reflect on this because I heard the stories. And, I didn't realize that I was kind of putting myself so far first and so far in the forefront that I kind of really didn't care about my family and what they thought about it. All I was excited about was that next big adventure and the firefighting and all that. And, coming back, I'd hear, oh, we're so glad you're safe and you're fine. And I just let it kind of breeze over me. And I didn't realize what that really meant. And it took some self-reflection over the past year or two to really finally start listening to that connection and that appreciation of life and my family and their love of me and the love of my friends and family, actually, who brought this type of subject up. So that's kind of, I'm not trying to make this as like a Debbie Downer type episode. I'm trying to dig deeper and give you guys more transparency into me. It's something that's one of my personal goals, is to be more transparent, be more approachable. As this show grows and as my exposure grows, I want to make sure that I am truly connected to our audience and people actually know who I am. And I just never really did an episode where it was just me. So again, for this kind of happy holiday episode, this whole backstory here is just building up to the fact that I've learned to appreciate Christmas, at least this time of year, a little bit more. Only because I forgot about all the times that I was gone for it was only 2 years, but my family never experienced that before. And now I can somewhat understand what families go through when people are gone in the military and they're gone in another country overseas, you know, for a long period of time. So again, my firefighting season was in the summers, and I was, you know, laid off every year, and they bring you back every year. So technically my winters were free, but I was out gallivanting around, hiking trips, mountain biking trips, you know, taking advantage of my free time until I went back to really, when you're gone doing the fire thing, like your life is fire for that 6 months and that's it. So it's very hard to balance your personal lives. I was sharing a lot on Facebook and people loved following the adventures, and my family was forced to do the same. I would try and squeeze in phone calls when I can. I'll admit it, my connection with my younger brother was definitely not a great one, because we are always, you know, we are a tough old Irish family, you know, Scott William Mulvaney, there you go, sorry, it's Irish blood. We're not very emotional people, and that's something that we're working on as a family, that my brother really helped lead the way on that. I give him respect to Matt, if he ever actually listens to this show. You know, this episode's for you and the family. So the point is, when I came back in the winters, even though I was living out west, I would always road trip back. I loved my cross-country road trips in 2010, 2011, 2012. You know, driving back and forth was cool. You get to see a lot of the country. But what I realized was I enjoyed being back here for a few months. I'd always go back, work with the ski race team that I worked with up at Camelback, you know, coaching kids, being local, catching up with all my long-term friends in different ways and doing a parties thing and just bouncing around and having some of that freedom. And I realized it was just great being around friends and family and reconnecting them. But more importantly, Christmas and Thanksgiving were supposed to be a guaranteed holiday for me to be with my family. And I haven't had an episode up here yet, but Thanksgiving has kind of gotten removed from the equation now because of a wonderful woman by the name of Sister Mary Lanning of New York City up in Harlem. We'll have to do another episode and bring her on and tell you guys about her foundation that I now support every year, her charity work. I mean, basically, long story short on that was I go up there now every year to Harlem, and we, from scratch, make enough meals to feed over 2,000 people who live on the street or low-income families in the Harlem area. And it's just amazing what she does there. And if you ever want to look her up, her organization is called Yes Solutions. And she's out of Harlem, New York, and Mary's amazing. So again, another whole show there. But the point was, I've now been committed every year since 2010, since I stumbled across her in a cafe outside of Columbia University in New York City, because I was up there to say hi to one of my fire buddies from my rookie year who was about to start his PhD doctoral program in chemistry after fighting fire with this guy. So he was now one of my brothers. And I told him, like, listen, when you go to the East Coast, let me know. I'll come back. We'll hang out. I'll get you adapted to the East Coast and et cetera. So that's how I came across her. This goes back to why I love to promote travel and freedom. So unfortunately, since then, not fortunately, I should say, I don't know. Anyway, long story short there, I go back every year now and I'm committed to support her organization. I love coming up there. I'm one of the people that travels the furthest and I love helping run the kitchen all night long. I don't sleep. Working with the volunteers is awesome. It's just a huge team effort. We'll reflect on that on a different episode. But that's one more holiday that I've removed from the equation. So Christmas has become important. I think 1 year, 2-3 years ago, my girlfriend and I decided to do a ski trip on Christmas, and it made me feel really guilty. So because I forgot about, again, I'm still kind of learning from the fire years, but hey man, like my family doesn't get to see me very often. So, and even to this day, you know, we live an hour away. It's just, it's an effort and I need to do a better job. So I try and call them every week, every 2 weeks, stay in touch, talk to mom, talk to dad. Still working on the brother thing. I could do a better job, Matt. But the point here is that I got to stay committed to Christmas. That's basically my lifeline. You know, I was a kid, we had big family focused Christmases. I mean, we had lots of gifts under the tree. My aunt used to show up, my uncle, my grandmother, we all lived a little bit closer together. It's been years since that's happened. And my grandmother's gotten older. She doesn't like to leave the house. You know, my aunt is no longer with my uncle. They don't like to drive either. So it's like some people have gotten lazy. They don't want to drive. And I'm calling them out. I don't think they'll ever listen to this show, but you know what? That sucks. And I'm sorry. We as families need to step up and be there for each other. So that's my own personal little vendetta there. I love them, but they got to step it up. You know, put in a little effort. So anyway, that's my basically holding myself accountable. All right. I'm grateful to have a loving family. Yeah, we're tough Irish and we don't like to open up very often, but we're changing that. And it's my commitment to my family. And I'm sure some of you have your own stories here, but you know, make the time. All right. I've already seen multiple stories in the past couple of days over Facebook of people losing cousins, sisters, brothers, accidents, suicide. I mean, the power of social media is now we can get ridiculous amounts of exposure, and I can see so much good, but also so much bad going on. And that's one of the reasons why it inspired me to record this episode for the Christmas holiday is that this is bigger than just, you know, a Christianity thing or a Christmas thing. It's just in general, like, if you have the excuse to get together with people and support each other, whether it be family, friends, during a holiday, doesn't matter what holiday it is, like, take advantage of that time and truly be there. Be there in the moment. You know, when I go over there for Christmas, my phone goes on vibrate. I try and leave it in the jacket because I'm bad enough at that as it is because I do social media for business. So it's like I need to unplug. So that's kind of my message here today is not just being thankful and being grateful for your families, but be grateful that you have the time to spend time with those people, because you don't know when that's going to get cut off. And I saw that with some fire buddies, and I've seen that literally in the past 24 hours with people that I'm connected with and people that I'm friends with family members lost. And it's very hard, and we're all going to eventually go through it. So let's take that time. Let's be thankful. Let's be grateful for what we have in our lives. Stop worrying about keeping up with the Joneses. Take the time to be with your friends and family, gang. And I think that's truly one of the underlying principles that's going to help us all live that fired up, epic life. So that's my message, gang. Thanks for listening in our first solo episode. It's going to be weird me going back and listening to it. But again, it's really, I just wanted to kind of dig a little deeper into my life for you all and hopefully get you all to dig into your lives a little bit more and really appreciate our friends, our family, and those closest to us and those who truly care about us. Whether or not you're like me, and sometimes we don't listen or pay attention, and you know, I regret some of that, and I'm learning better from that. But like, let's be there for each other. Let's truly spend that time, a quality time. Unplug. Enjoy the holidays, guys. All right. So again, thanks for listening in. Thanks for being loyal listeners of Live the Fuel. I hope I keep doing a great job and keep you as loyal listeners. I've mentioned it before. Do me a solid. Submit me a review on iTunes so I can find out how I'm doing. And it's going to help the show rank a little bit here. I'm taking this seriously, guys. I'm committing to 2 episodes every single week. So that's my message. I'll talk to you guys again soon. We've said it before. Keep living the fired up epic life, guys. Have a great holiday. Later.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.